Genesis, the sixth chapter. Starting in verse number 13, God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Almost sounds like today. What's the solution? Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shall thou make to the ark, and in a cubic shall thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof, with lower and second and third stories shall thou make it. So the window was at the top, so they had to look out. The door was in the side. All these types and shadows of Jesus bringing us salvation through his side. "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." Lord, we ask your blessing on the word of God. That you touch it, make it alive. Allow us to understand the depth of it. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Noah was a builder and a preacher. He wasn't just a preacher, but he was also a builder. I've said this at conferences with ministers. You're not just a preacher, you're a builder. You better get understanding for architecture and building, because that's what God has called you to do. You know, Jesus was a carpenter. He was well equipped to be a lawyer because he gave the law. He knew the law better than anybody else. It would have been so natural for him to become a lawyer, but he became a builder, a carpenter. Amen. If you'll turn to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, starting in verse number 6, it says, "But without faith or faithfulness, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." By faith, not only belief, but faithfulness, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He prepares an ark so his house, his family could be saved, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So because of his faith and faithfulness, his family got saved. Without it, his family would not have been saved. I'm not much for preaching seasonal themes. Really, every message is a Christmas message. Every message is an Easter message, you know. It talks about God, and he's all about Christmas. He's all about Easter. We shouldn't have different feelings about God at different times of the year. It should always be the same. You know, oh, I really love God at Christmas time. What about the 4th of July, you know? Having said that, one of the most famous Christmas songs is, "I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me." And then the last verse is, "I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams." The song was written when many soldiers were at war and they couldn't be at home. They wish they were in a place, a better place, a place where their family was, where comfort was. Home represents all of the safety and good in our life. There is no place like home. It's where the people we love are and where we're most comfortable with all of the things that we're familiar with around us. The ark that Noah built was a prototype of the church or a home. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house or his family, and Noah got specific instructions or plans for the building project from God. He told them exactly how high, how deep, where the door was going to be, and by following God's plan, he saved his family from destruction. Peter also got building plans from God on building the church, an ark of safety. It says in Acts 2 and 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward or warped generation. You know, this is what you have to do. He went on to give us the plan of salvation. These words are even more important today than then because this generation is worse than even that generation. The words of God is like a home defense system, if you will, not allowing intruders into our family. There are walls that are built through the Word of God that don't allow other doctrines and philosophies to come in that can destroy our family. You have to have an ark. Acts 2 and 38 is the building permit to start the construction of the ark safety. It's just the permit, if you will, and after Noah got the plans from God, he could have studied the plans. He could have went over those plans week after week, month after month, gathered people to help him build the ark. He could have even purchased a lot of the material in order to build the ark, but just never got started building. Week after week, we're building materials. We're getting direction. We're getting a blueprint. And what do you do with it? If you yourself aren't building, maybe your family isn't safe, you see? You don't do the building in the church. You build the house outside the church, you see? We must be prepared for what's down the road. You never know what's going to happen in this generation. Could that happen to us? Absolutely. We see God's instruction to build. We were baptized in his precious name for the remission of sins. We're filled with the Holy Ghost, and we're even faithful to church service, and yet haven't followed God's total plan for the protection of our family. There's other things that have to be done, just not examining the plan week after week, week after week, month after month. I see the plan, I hear it, but what are we going to do with the plan? You know, oh, I have this dream home, but I never started it. I never was willing to pay the cost in order to gather the material in order to build that ark. Noah's ark wasn't just a monument to the world that there is destruction down the road. Everyone walked by that ark. It was huge. It was 120 years of building, and everybody knew what this old guy was doing with this ark. How many people drive by this building every week? They see it, they've recognized somebody made some sacrifice, somebody gathered material, somebody had a plan, and it didn't mean anything. Noah's ark became a preaching point for 120 years. This place is a preaching point. It was their church during the construction. It wasn't just a job site that they came to every day. a place that they ate in and they got some rest in. Their lives were centered around what they were building. There wasn't anything that was more important than finishing what God said they should build. I think we all come into the church with that kind of that direction, that I want to build the church. I want to do something for God. Pastor, tell me, what can I do? Hebrews 11 and 7 said, by Noah's building the ark, he condemned the world and became heir to righteousness. Are we still working on the ark? Been here years and years and years. I wonder how many people actually started to help Noah build the ark and even responded to Noah's preaching of righteousness. 120 years, he certainly could not have built this enormous ark, this enormous boat, by himself. How many put their talents into the building? I can do this and you can do that. How many people have put their talents into this building? Whether it's the physical structure of this building or somebody who sang a special or played an instrument or taught the word of God, they were all a part of the building of an ark to the safety of their own family. But then, after a few years, after the construction of this ark and it still hadn't rained, they got tired. Perhaps they got a little bored. Perhaps they didn't get the position that they wanted. And it didn't rain, and they just left the building project and went back to their old life. Oh, they still watched Noah from afar off. They watched the progress of what was going on in the building, but I'm not going to be a part of that any longer. How many people have been a part of the building, saw the miraculous of God? Oh, I wish there was an application to us. Perhaps some who have left the Ark Project became self-appointed building inspectors. When you leave the project, when you leave the building of the church, all of a sudden you're critical of how it's being built. I wouldn't have done it that way. Self-appointed, oh, we don't build like that anymore. We've got some new plans. This is the way I would do it. That's the old-fashioned way to build. And if we really want something to last, it's got to be according to God's plan, not according to ours. Everything else here is just temporal. When the rains came, those people found themselves outside the ark. And God closed the door. Noah didn't. There was no safety found outside of the ark. There is no safety found outside the church. I shall not be moved. There isn't any place like home. There isn't any place that will give you more comfort. There isn't any place that you have a greater family. There isn't any place that'll keep your family safe. We've all started building the church. We all have. But for some reason, they just stopped going to the job site. Did they get tired? Not enough attention was given to them? Their ideas, perhaps, well, they were rejected. They just felt that they didn't need to follow the plan of God that was laid out for them. All those years of being faithful to the project, and one day they're just gone. Doesn't it sound like it's going to rain soon? Doesn't it sound like Jesus is coming back soon? This is not a time to go to another project. It's not a time to say, well, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm not equipped, you know. We have to stay in the ark in order to be saved. A one-man rowboat won't do it. You know? You think you can, but you can't do this on your own. I've heard every justification why people no longer need an ark. Every kind of idea of why you don't need to be under authority. But the bottom line is this, it will always cost you something. It will always restrict your life in order to follow God's plan. And so I can't imagine in that day for 120 years how many people contributed to the ark and yet only 8 people were saved. Was it a shadow and type of what's happening in 2021 where, well, I want to be a part of that building, but, you know, I have to show up at the job site? Years ago, there was a bad earthquake in Acapulco. There's been times where my wife and I have been in Acapulco, and there's tremors. There's small earthquakes going on all of the time there. I remember being on like the 8th floor of a hotel, and all of the glass in the hotel was just shaking. And I called down and I said, "What is happening?" "Oh, Mr. Schumacher, that's just an earthquake. You know, it's something they live with every day." But in this year, I think it was back in like 87, there was a tremendous earthquake in Acapulco, but nothing was damaged there. But 4 hours away in Mexico City, there was tremendous damage. Lives were lost. Why? Because building inspectors were paid off by contractors to overlook the building codes to save money and to save time. And unfortunately, the same thing can happen. When tragedies happen in this world, if we're not building according to God's plan and we want to take some shortcuts, we'll do it in an easier way, there's damage that's done. Turn to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Second Timothy 4, starting in verse number 1. Paul is charging a young preacher. He says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke." That's not how you're going to build a congregation. "Reprove and rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of the evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." He wasn't just talking to Timothy, he's talking to each and every one of us. Church, we just can't stop building the ark of safety for 1 minute. We need to stick with God's plan, not only for our safety, but for the safety of those who haven't even come into the ark as yet. No shortcuts, no last minute changes that God didn't authorize. It's not just a good idea to stay active in the church. It's a matter of saving your house. You know, we save our families by sticking to the plan, by building holiness and faithfulness and separation and studying the building plan over and over again. It's being active in a building program. We've gone through, 3 building programs, and every one of them has been more than a challenge, and in every one of them we've had a building program to raise money. And during the times that we were building and expanding, the church has never been more on fire. There have been more people who have been faithful and blessed and blessed and blessed because we're all part of building the church. But we can become complacent, let somebody else do it. You know, Noah, you just preach it. And God knows that once we stop building, for whatever reason, the next step is to walk off the job. Busy people don't just walk away. Last night, we had a dinner down in the gymnasium, and within minutes, there were people folding up chairs and tables. The caterers who came in and said, "Wow, I am so impressed." There are young people folding up tables and taking them back into the storage room, you know? And we didn't have to beg anybody to do it. They were excited to be a part of something that was happening in the church. You know, the greatest incentive for continuing to build is knowing that there's a storm coming. You know? Get ready. Make sure there's no leaks in the roof. Batten down the hatches. Make sure you're right with God, because if the storm comes, and it won't be a surprise, it'll come. There's no question about it. Just like this pandemic, if you weren't ready, God told Noah to get into the ark with his family, and they waited 7 days before the rain came. So God told them, get in the ark. He closed the door, and now they're sitting in the ark for 7 days, and they're wondering, well, where's the rain coming, you know? Type in shadow, because God told 500 people to go into an upper room, but 120 waited for 7 days before the rain came, before God poured out his spirit upon all flesh. Have to be patient sometimes. Notice that God didn't take Noah out of the storm, but he kept him safe in the storm. And I would love to have gotten out of a few storms, but I recognize I'm a better person because God allowed me to go through the storm, through the sickness, through the challenges, you see. Hallelujah. And I had an ark of safety, a place. You know, with all of these tornadoes, there's story after story of people who found a safe place. They knew there was one place in the house that was safer than any other place. And when we see the storms come, there is one place that is safer than any other place. It's in God's church. It's in God's ark. You'll turn to our last scripture tonight in Acts, the 27th chapter. Acts chapter 27 and verse 29. We find that Paul is on a ship and there's a storm. He ends up in Malta. Verse 29 says, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under colors, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Well, I'm staying, but my feet are outside the boat. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, they cannot be saved. You think it applies to the church? Absolutely. Except you stay in the boat. Stay in the ship. If you're afraid, this is the best place to be, because God's always going to take care of us. The church we are building is not only our vehicle to take us out of the destruction, but it also becomes our refuge in a time of storm. If I'm going to be sick, this is the place to be sick. If I'm going to be attacked, this is the place to be. Surrounded by other people who have established themselves in faith, you see. I'm so glad that I'm going to be home for Christmas. Don't you wish everybody else would? This is the best place to be, folks. Would you stand with me, please? Sunday, Brother Mackey is going to be with us in the evening, and we're looking forward to that. I understand he has been married, and he's going to bring his new bride with him. And then, of course, we're looking forward to New Year's Eve and that weekend with Brother and Sister Littles. These are men who have been building and building and building, and they haven't traded the plans in for anything new and update. I'm so glad. They're pillars. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Glory to God. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?